You're listening to WISR 680 AM 107.5 FM. I'm Tyler Friel, and this is the News at Noon. Today, we are joined on the phone by Doug Oster. You know him as the organic gardener. He's been a mainstay in the gardening community in Western Pennsylvania for a long time. He's been a friend of WISR, and it's a pleasure to talk to him today as he is at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show. It is happening at the Convention Center all this week. The last day is Sunday. Doug joins us by telephone. Doug, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm actually sleeping at the convention center. That's how often I'm there.
Multi-talented man. We've got listeners, I'm sure, as the weather has been breaking a little bit early, have some spring fever, and that means getting ready for gardening season. And so let's start there, Doug, because we did have a somewhat mild February, didn't really have much snow, and so I'm sure there are some folks out there wondering if they've got some trees and things like that. One, is there the possibility for some early blooming? And then two, what are the impacts that could have?
Yeah, well, we're already seeing early blooming. You know, this is the earliest I'd ever had daffodils bloom. And I've got forsythia blooming already, which is awful early. The thing about it is there's good news and bad news, and it's the same thing. There's nothing we can do about it. So, you know, people might want to be worried, you know, because usually we get a serious cold snap in a normal spring, but we'll see what happens here. But if you start to see, you know, temperatures diving down to, you know, 20s and 15, there's nothing you can do. Don't go out and try and cover your, you know, daffodils or your forsythia or crab apple, whatever it might be. These plants have been dealing with these swings in weather for a long time. And the worst case scenario, you'll get some buds frozen out, and then next year you'll see the flowers again. So just let nature take its course and everything will be okay.
Much like most folks here in Western PA, you're still connected to Mother Nature more so than anything. Let's take then a look at this time of year in a typical time frame. So, yeah, we've had some warmer weather. But overall, as you flip the calendar to March, what can people do whenever it comes to getting ready for the gardening season? Essentially, what type of seeds and plants should people be thinking about this time of year?
Well, Grandma always said, got to plant peas on St. Patrick's Day, and if Grandma says it, it has to happen. The thing is, the most important thing when you're getting into your garden, if you start to dig that soil and turn it over and it's too wet, meaning that it sticks to the shovel, then you want to leave it be. You know, everybody's soil is a little bit different. And so when you're in there digging, make sure that it's nice, loose, and friable. And if it's not, all you've got to do is get a bag of compost, dump it on top. Now you can put those pea seeds in. One trick for peas on St. Patrick's Day is soak them overnight in water. They'll get three times their size, and it almost always makes sure that they'll sprout. But even though that's our tradition, is the St. Patrick's Day pea planting, that also includes onion sets, onion plants, lettuce, beets, Swiss chard, all sorts of leafy greens. That's kind of the official start of the season. And all I do, if I can't get that the soil is too wet, I'm just throwing that compost on top a couple inches, and then we're good to go. We start planting, and then there's no stopping us now once we get that stuff in the ground.
We're off and running. And I know there are some folks, too, as we're talking with Doug Oster, who's at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show this week, who like to start their seeds indoors. So this time of year, if people are thinking about that, what type of seeds should they be looking for? And then what type of process do they need to do to make sure that these seeds can get a good start and then go into the garden later?
So we're starting everything from the cool weather crops all the way through our tender crops, meaning, you know, basically tomatoes and peppers are the big ones. The number one thing to know about that is that you need a strong light source. Anyone can take that seed, put it in moist planting mix, keep it wet until it sprouts, and get it to germinate. The mistake people make is they try and grow it on their windowsill, and we just don't have the long enough days or enough sunshine to get them going. And what happens is they get kind of tall and spindly, we call it leggy, and they fall over, and then I get these calls all the time, and they think they have a brown thumb. That's not what it is. Nowadays we have all these LED light sources that are very bright and very inexpensive to run. So basically, one of the reasons that we grow from seed is that we can grow so many different things, unique varieties. when we first start gardening, we're just glad that we don't kill something. We're like, it lived. Then after that, it's like, I want to grow something different. And even though we have great nurseries all over the area, and certainly all through Butler County, they can't grow everything. And so sometimes you fall in love with these things and you've got to grow from seed. There's also a real satisfaction to seeing that little seed sprout and come to fruition in just that short time. It's one of my favorite things to do. And being the number one gardening cheapskate in the world, it's also a way to save money.
When people are looking at a timeline, let's say people are making the first time where they are trying this indoors and trying to figure out if the plant is growing at a good rate and make sure that they're doing everything right. What's the timeline? Let's say you did start something indoors, a tomato plant indoors. What's kind of the timeline from this point moving forward as to when they should start to see some growth with that?
Well, that's a great question. And let's specifically talk tomatoes. They'll sprout in anywhere from 7 to 10 days. If you put them on a heat mat, maybe a little bit sooner. As soon as they sprout, get them off that heat mat. Then, like I'd start my main crop April 1st because I don't want them to get too big. But you can hedge on that. You can start a little earlier if you want. If you want to sneak them in, but you want that plant to be about 6 weeks old or so when you're putting it out in the ground, and you don't want to go put it out too early. So that anywhere from March 15 to April 1st is when we start our tomatoes, and they're ready to go out by about May 20th. One little trick is we start liquid fertilization as soon as they get at what we call their true leaves. When a seed sprouts, it doesn't look like a tomato, but then the second set of leaves will look like tomato foliage. We start half-strength fertilizing, and then another good trick for tomatoes is when they get to about 2-3 inches tall, and that's only going to take maybe a couple weeks, pot them up into a bigger container. You'd think that'd slow them down. It does the reverse for tomatoes. They love that. And you go up into like yogurt size container, then you go up into a 4-inch pot. Now I've got a little unheated greenhouse, and everybody from the neighborhood comes about that third week of May to get tomatoes. And they look through that greenhouse and they see all these plants, and they look over in the corner and they see these big green plants in gallon containers. They're like, who are those for? Those are for me.
Don't take Doug's tomatoes. That's all he's asking.
Exactly. I worked hard on those since March.
Doug Oster, the organic gardener, he's at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show. And Doug, you said if folks, again, you're there all week, folks can make the trip down to see you speak this week, correct?
Yeah, if you are listening to this show and you would like to come for free, all you have to do is go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button, look at when I'm speaking, and all you're agreeing to do to get the free tickets is come see me speak. Then you can go through the show and do everything you want. Don't just come down for the free tickets, but get on there, send me an email. I'll get you on the list, and then you make the drive down, come to the city, and we have so much fun speaking. I'm in this area. You won't believe it. 40 different vendors, all local farms and such. We got a place for kids with worms. You can dig for worms. You can have a treasure hunt for root crops. There's all these containers filled with plants. I got over 60 containers filled with vegetables. And then if they come on Sunday, I'm just going to tell you this, I'm not carting those containers out of the convention center. So you take that hint for what you want. So Sunday might be a big day. We're just having so much fun down there. And I'm speaking a couple times a day. Take a look online at DougOster.com and you can see the schedule, and come on down and see me. We're going to have fun.
So one of the things, because we do have a lot of folks who listen in the city, and you know, obviously the space there is a bit limited. So what would be your suggestion? Because we hear all this talk about urban gardening and how to have fresh produce and fresh plants in your yard, even if you're living in the city. What would be some tips and suggestions you would give to somebody who is a city resident but looking to have some fresh produce available for them this year?
Anything that we can grow in our gardens, we can grow in containers, but we have to have the right size container for the right plant. And always with containers, bigger is better, because more mass means less watering. Containers are always this incredibly easy and fun idea through April and May when we have rain. When we get to July and we have to water them every day, that becomes a hassle. So I like a container that holds at least 15 gallons of planting mix. And the trick is for containers is don't overload them with plants. Now, if you want to do greens, you can make a carpet of greens in that container. But if you're going to do tomatoes, peppers, one tomato in each container, and for peppers, maybe three in a 15-gallon. But don't overcrowd it, and that's one of the mistakes people make. They need water, and they need fertilizer, and you can find a good organic liquid fertilizer at any good nursery up in Butler County, and it's usually sold as a concentrate. You mix it up. You can use it all season long, and when you feed them that in the container, because, you know, basically, like something like a tomato, it's a heavy feeder. Those roots just fill the container. They eat up the nutrients in that planting mix pretty quick. From June to August, every time you water in a container, use that liquid fertilizer too, and your plants will love you for it, and they will go nuts.
We talked about some of the early blooming daffodils. This time of year, as people are trying to examine maybe some different plants and things to look at in your yard, what would you suggest for people in terms of a timeline for actually getting plants in the ground, different flowers and hedges and shrubberies? What should people be idealing as a time frame to say, okay, this is a good time to get this in the ground?
Well, there's a couple different things to think about here. First is something that is a little tender, which would be pansies. Pansies are our first beautiful, colorful flowers that we can put in. And again, I'm planting those around St. Patrick's Day outdoors. And you might say, well, there's going to be a frost. Yes, there's going to be a frost, but pansies can take just about anything Mother Nature has after that St. Patrick's Day. So I fill up containers around the house with pansies. That's your first instant color. But then after that, you can start planting what we call perennials, which are plants that come back year after year on their own. You can start planting those in early April. Again, they don't care about the frost. Then we get into May, where things warm up. That's when we put in those tender crops. But there are tons of different things, trees, shrubs, perennials that can go into the ground early in April, get established, and do their thing for years and years after that.
And obviously, you know, when people are looking at, because I'm going through this situation as well, so selfishly I'll use this as my own time frame. When you're talking about how important it is for some plants and things like that, is it really important to look into sunlight hours, when these plants are getting sun? Because I would imagine that certain plants depend on certain sunshine and water and such and things at certain times during the day.
Exactly. That's a great observation. And yes, the thing we always say is right plant for the right place. And so, yeah, we see when we're getting sun, when we're getting shade, we're picking the right plants. The most important thing is to go to a good local nursery when you're going to get your plants. And there's no dumb questions. They want to hear your questions. And those people, now, even though that my whole life revolves around gardening, the people that work at those nurseries have so much information about those plants. They can help you in so many ways and have helped me in so many ways. But after you figure out the lighting, the next thing is the most important thing you can do is add compost or some kind of well-aged animal manure, some kind of organic matter to the soil every time you plant. When you plant those seedlings in something like compost, that compost gives them everything they need. And when they have everything they need, they're going to basically, for the most part, outgrow most pests and diseases. You can buy that compost by the bag, by the truckload. You can make your own. Nothing is more important than compost. When I'm down at the Home and Garden Show, every presentation I make starts off with the importance of compost, because it's a natural fungicide. It drains well, but it holds water, and then it has all those nutrients that the plant needs. That is key to having the green thumb. And then secondly, don't let your plants dry out. When we get to a period where we're not getting a lot of rain, water once a week, water in the morning so the leaves can dry out. That's important. And soak that plant in. Don't just sprinkle it. Soak it so those roots go deep down into the ground. And when things do get tough, they can reach down there and bring that water up to the plant.
So is there such thing as overwatering a plant?
In a container, yes. Usually. Okay. In the garden, no. And again, it depends on your soil. If it's pure clay, yeah, you can drown things. But if you've got pure clay, just dig a planting hole, throw that compost in. It's almost impossible to overwater those. The thing that people overwater, though, are their houseplants. The only way you can kill a houseplant, for the most part, is with kindness, which means too much water and too much fertilizer. Let those indoor plants dry out. Now, if I got just a second, there's this stuff I use to plant in my containers, and it's called pit moss, P-I-T-T, and they make it locally in Pittsburgh. It's made of recycled newspapers, and it uses 2/3 less water. It's my favorite thing for containers because it's lightweight, and I don't have to water as much. In fact, if you that's the case where you could overwater that stuff. If you water it like a peat-based mix, you're going to overwater. And that pit moss has saved me when we get into July. You've got a lot more leeway on when to plant. And all the plants that I have at the Home and Garden Show are planted in this pit moss, and they're not paying me to tell you this. This is what I actually use. And I love that stuff. It's easy to find. You can find it at nurseries and places up there in Butler. And check it out. The one I use is called Pit Moss Plentiful because it has some organic fertilizer in it. And it just, it saves on my back and it saves on my watering. And it's a good little trick, especially for container growth.
Well, I'm writing all these notes down. And if you also want to follow along with a lot of Doug's tips, he's going to be at the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show all through this week, Sunday. Doug, once again, if you could put that information out for folks, if they do want to come see you.
If you'd like to come see me, just go online to my website, DougOster.com. Look at the schedule, pick a day and time to come. Send me an email. I'll get you on the list. We'll get you in for free, and you're going to get free seeds, too, when you come. I've got these heirloom tomatoes to give you. I've got a really cool heirloom Swiss chard to give you. Anyone who comes to see me talk gets these free seeds. And I said, if you come on Sunday, I'm not carting those containers out of there.
And peas on St. Patrick's Day. I got that written down as well.
Hey, if grandma says it, you got to do it.
That's exactly right. Doug Oster, appreciate the time again. DougOster.com is the place to check him out. Doug, thanks again.
Thanks, Tyler.
I'm Tyler Friel, and you're listening to WISR.